Lord, you have shown us the path of life. Please give us the grace to follow you. Well, my precious family, in these days with tormenting pain constantly before me, my heart and mind have taken several left turns, finally coming all the way back to center. This is the path, walk in it, has been so very difficult to bear and fearfully threatening. I realized the moment I woke up this morning, I'm not afraid of Ezekiel dying because I have the Lord's promise. I am afraid of his suffering. Yesterday I sobbed and sobbed, so overcome by the spectacle of his pain. But by last night, something in me was changing. Something I couldn't even put my finger on, really. I was coming to terms with what God was doing and what he was allowing. Jesus began, "These are the times in which I will do my most marvelous works." Ezekiel's suffering has opened even further the gates of heaven to the lost, and graces are raining down from everywhere in heaven upon the earth because of the suffering of my obedient servants. It may look glum to you, but to the citizens of heaven it looks glorious. Have I not told you that all the values of heaven are opposite of those of earth? Have I not shown you repeatedly that it is the blood of the martyrs which brings forth new growth in the church? While this is not a bloody martyrdom, it is a white martyrdom, and equally, if not more, painful. Scorn and contempt is also the glory of my servants, and another martyrdom. But now you can see, my most beloved Claire, that new life is emerging all around you. Family members turning to me, prayer deepening, gratitude deepening, drawing closer despite the demons of division who find themselves impotent and opposing my will. Last night, the Lord was smiling at me from his portrait. I studied it for a long time and determined it's a smile. It's a twinkle in the eye, as if to say, "Now you're getting it, my bride. Now you're cooperating with my grace." You know, because I've really been fighting with the whole situation, trying to find different remedies and cures, and just not wanting to accept it and lay down with it, but of course wanting to relieve some of his suffering and looking to men to do it. Jesus continued, "Yes, indeed, I did smile at you from the portrait last night. I was so happy to see that you were beginning to see the futility of men and that I am actively controlling this, allowing what I allow, preventing what I wish to prevent. And you did indeed connect with the love of my Father for you both as well. And you did see through my eyes the fine wine that shall come forth from the squeezing of the grape. So much holy fruit is coming from this time. And as you pray for others in this place, their lives are receiving rare graces. Yes, even comfort and joy in suffering." Lord, for so long I've been praying for the grace to worship from the heart. And yesterday, after a breakthrough in pain that Ezekiel was given, for the first time I was able to worship the Father in true gratitude, not as a musician trying to sing, but as a soul profoundly grateful to my Heavenly Father, who is in complete control, and he ordains all things through the eyes of love, deepening love, calling each of us into the utter depths of his heart. This is the same measure he measured out to his dearly beloved Son family, for us sinners. He has invited us to participate in his passion through the circumstances of this life. The other night, Ezekiel was on the cross with Jesus for several hours, and though the pain was excruciating, The joy and bliss of being united to Christ was unspeakable and certainly prepared him for the next leg of his journey. How wonderful for me when I was able to worship and thank God from deep within for all his allowing, both joyful and sorrowful, in my life, my heart, and in the hearts of so many we do not know. It is a very great mystery, family. While we are on earth, suffering brings us deeper into the heart of God. This is why the prosperity teaching is so deadly. It focuses on having the things of this world to fill our hearts with pleasure, when in reality, the only true pleasure is Jesus filling our hearts with his righteousness, peace, and joy. It is a slippery slope those false teachings are setting people on. Almost every person in the New Testament that lived in prosperity and respect were the ones crucifying and betraying Jesus. And many of those who did live in affluence were quickly stripped and martyred. You see, to value these things of the world carries with it the consent and admiration of the world and supports the will of men, not the will of God. The Father turned the tables upside down when he sent his only begotten Son to earth to be born in a manger, the son of a working man and an obscure village girl, and to die between two thieves. Jesus continued, "Yes, Claire, this is true, yet so many do not perceive it, and for the recognition of this truth, you and this channel are persecuted. But may I say they treated my prophets of old in the very same way? No one wants to hear the bottom line. They are still floating in the cream that rises to the top of a culture. But in no way was I exalted in the culture of my time. No, I was continually cast down as a troublemaker, false prophet, false messiah, and blasphemer. You were in good company, although this shall not be seen until I come for you." My people, to buy into the lack of pain and abundance of prosperity doctrines is to buy into what I came to destroy. I did not come to exalt the exalted, even as the lips of my mother spoke it. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. That's Mary's song from Luke 1. Jesus continued, "When she spoke these words, they were not idle musings of a 14-year-old girl. They were prophetic from my Father's heart, in which she found her only joy, because she had made the Holy of Holies, his heart, her abode, through the continual practice of denying the many desires of the flesh, yet steeping her life in pondering the holy writings she had hidden in her heart from the earliest age. This is the example I wish all of my children to follow. It is your covenant with the world that brings separation from me. It is your fascination and acquisition of these things that hinders your walk with me. If you must possess, possess as one who has nothing. See all things as transitory. See anything that directs your attention away from me as sent by the enemy to ruin you. Please, my people, take my words to heart. It is not pleasure and comfort that draw you to me. It is the cross of suffering I have allowed in your lives. Be it a cross in the body or a cross in the mind or spirit or relationships, still, if it brings suffering and you respond in grace by the right attitude in carrying it, you will grow exponentially in holiness and union with me. Long before I was crucified, I declared to you, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. That's Luke 9:23. I have also declared that by my stripes you are healed. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That's 1 Peter 2:24. Yes, it is by my inscrutable design that some are healed and some remain infirm. There is a logic and reason to it that on earth you do not understand. Yet all the citizens of heaven and the great cloud understand and worship me for my equity and wisdom. You too in heaven shall do the same. Some I have chosen the sweetness of the hidden life of Mary. Others I have chosen the public life of the Samaritan woman who evangelized her village. Others, like the centurion, were given miracles for the sake of conversion. The widow's son was raised as a demonstration of my Father's will working through me. Job was chosen to shine forth my wisdom unto the nations, to acknowledge my sovereignty over the rulers of this world. Do not second guess me. Rather, accept at face value. I heal and I abstain from healing, and the wisdom of these decisions is not apparent to the worldly minded. Yet my hidden ones know me so well and commune with me in the watches of the night. They know, and having this knowledge, they worship and adore me even more. I want you to see with new eyes the wisdom of my decisions. When you pray for the sick, expect them to be healed. And if they are not, do not despair. I have my reasons. Do not lay blame, not on yourself and not on them. Rather, if you are clean before me, accept my decision graciously, without condemnation or false guilt. Persist in praying if you feel the Spirit moving you to do so. But if not, accept graciously my decision without condemnation or false guilt. Lord, may I add something? Yes, go ahead. Dear ones, we have many teachings on healing, but I just want to mention to you that it is best to prepare your heart before the Lord, holding no unforgiveness, no unconfessed sin, disobedience or rebellion that you're aware of. Do your very best to search your heart with the help of the Holy Spirit and repent of whatever you've shown. And for those you are to pray for, please prepare them the same way when you can. If they are holding unforgiveness, they need to at least make an act of the will to forgive. If they have sinned, they should repent and ask the Lord for the grace not to repeat that sin. Be sure to cover judgment and gossip, which are poison, but so often overlooked. Very often there will be a root of bitterness in their hearts that has led to this illness in the first place. That must be resolved. If you're dealing with an unbeliever, though, the Lord in his sovereignty may very well heal them anyway to demonstrate his love so they can forgive others. Jesus continued, "Everything you have said, Claire, I have taught you and is critically important, but especially the awareness that I am sovereign and I will do what I want to do in every situation, despite the sinfulness of the soul being healed. There is one more thing I want to address to my people, and you will be scorned for this, Claire. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. That's 1 Corinthians 13:11. When you come to serve me, my people, I require first and foremost detachment from sin and the world. This will open you up to the freedom of being formed and learning my ways. If you are not willing to do this, you're not ready and need not apply. You must wait until you're truly done with the ways of the world or are standing in the committed place of renouncing them as they come up. Any stain or blemish I see in your soul, I will address lovingly with much grace, because these are cracks in your vessel that will cause you to waste the living waters I wish to pour through you. I will lead you gently in increments, offering you alternatives to bring you to a place of joy and willingness to renounce this world. Claire is still working her way through this, yet I use her because her heart is in complete agreement with mine. Her weaknesses do not disqualify her, because her will is one with mine. There are many ways you have learned that are of the world and therefore childish. To have your own way, to have all you want, when you want it, to be comfortable with your pillows and quilts, tucked securely away with cookies and milk at bedtime. Toys, desserts, cars, boats, motorcycles, vacations can be considered toys. To have all the perks life has to offer. These cater to your flesh and are therefore childish. That is not to say that I will not reward you at some time by allowing these things if they do not spoil your soul. I love to lavish my gifts upon my beloved. However, the gifts I truly long to give are the spiritual ones, and for those you must have the mindset of an adult. I didn't say you had to be fully adult, but the desire must be there, or you will resist me when I try to remove them. So you will be putting away childish things, even as my word says. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. What I'm trying to call to your attention is that this life of prosperity without pain and suffering is a childish mindset. I need you to grow up now. I need you to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. I did not live in prosperity. My body was subject to disease and pain. My relationships were often bitter betrayals, even when I had given my very best. The pleasure I received in my life was to fulfill the Father's will, even to die a tragically painful death, to have you in heaven with me forever. This was my joy, and yet my flesh did rebel. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. That's Matthew 26:39. This is the mindset of an adult who has put away the childish pleasures and conveniences of the world. And this is where I'm taking those who love me and are willing. I do not force this upon you, but once you make an act of the will and adhere to it, this is where we are going. My son, if you come to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. And these are notations on the scripture in Ecclesiastes. For you will be tried and tempted in forsaking yourself and the world. Set thy heart aright. In other words, be pure in all your motives to please me only, and constantly endure. Be long-suffering without grumbling and complaining, which is extremely noxious. And make not haste in times of trouble. Don't be impatient. Stand and do not run from pain and contradiction. Cleave unto him and depart not away. Don't turn your back on me or those who lay stripes on your back, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end, that is, spiritually increased and ready for heaven. Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take it cheerfully. Be spiritually minded, be an adult, and see only my will at work. And be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. If you lose everything you thought you had, be at peace. This was done for your own good. This is Ecclesiastes 2. Jesus continued, Now I have gone through great lengths to explain to you what I expect of my disciples, and especially my brides, who have grown spiritually into the stature befitting their spouse. If you come with me, you will suffer. But the consolations in intimacy with me will far outweigh what you lost, unless you are still very attached to the world, in which case you're not ready. But I will wait for you, because I love you. And where I am, I want you to be also. Take these words to heart, for I am with you every step of the way, and shall never abandon you to your own strength. You have only to desire it and cooperate, and we will continue the climb to the crest of the mountain of love, where you can see clearly into eternity.